Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
It's great to be of love.
But you already know that. Yeah. And even you know it's great. You got an orange.
Yeah, I did that for you.
It's great. You already know. I don't need to say it.
I like the bow tie.
Thank you. I feel like it's perfect.
All right. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Let's kick it off.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. I am always one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
T. Davis.
And let's see.
Go Gators.
Yeah. Whatever. Listen. You know what? Let's just go ahead and get that out the way. Let's go ahead and just do it now. Get it on out the way. The Gators destroyed Ole Miss down there in the swamp.
Yeah. And, if you're not a Gator, you're Gator bait. I thought I told you, but maybe I didn't tell them. If somebody needs to call OPD and tell them don't start any more Twitter wars. Leave that alone.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's just throw out Ole Miss there. Ole Miss, I'm not afraid to say it. They were out-coached, they were out-game-planned, and they were outplayed. And this is honestly a movie I feel like I have seen before. Starting off the year great, beating Alabama, everybody feeling themselves, and then, yes, last year they had some injuries toward the middle of the season, but I feel like I've seen this movie before, and here we go. You know, the ride is getting bumpy.
Yeah.
My mom asked me one time, is Florida just that much better than us? I said, it really seems like they know what we're going to do before we do it. I mean, as soon as Kelly hiked the ball, there was Gators all in the backfield. I mean, they were well prepared for this game, and it showed.
Well, here's the thing. I cannot reiterate, and now you know it ain't like I have no love for the Rebels.
Oh, I know.
What did I say when they jumped from like 15-3? No, they are not that good. Nope. And I still don't believe Alabama is that good. And they only beat Alabama by 6 or 7 points with a couple of fluke plays or something, so they should have never jumped that high. I'm glad they didn't throw Florida real high, because we're not that good either, to be perfectly honest. We getting better, which is good, but y'all was awful. Y'all just played awful, and we took advantage of that.
Yeah, I was glad to see that we finally, I quit watching. I didn't see us finally get in the end zone. And mainly it's because I was just tired. And that game just drained me, because I kept waiting on something to happen, and it never did. So, and when we get down there by the end zone,
you
got to do it, because you have no options at running back. I'm sorry, Jalen Walton, Wilkins, all of them, great. Quick scat backs, but they are not going to run up the middle of the defense, especially Florida's defense. You're not going to run it up the middle and get through on that D.
Well, if you saw a couple of lineups when y'all was going for it, I don't even know if that was Laquan, but the setup was well, that to the left of the field, they could have tried the fade. But anywho, way to go, Gators.
Right.
It's great.
I mean,
it's great.
One more thing on Laquan. One more thing with Treadwell. Gators, y'all were not playing man-to-man. Y'all playing in zone defense, backing off receivers.
They didn't try to, the one time that they threw it to him, they weren't trying to throw it to him. Maybe it was because he didn't have time. We was playing man-to-man because they wasn't, like, everybody was thinking Hargraves would be the matchup. Tavar was on him a lot of times, and they only threw it over that one time, and he went up and made the catch. On the tough, Tavar was with him, but just because of his size. I don't know if it was a function of him not having time because we were all over him and couldn't. But yeah. He had some opportunities. He was even frustrated. You could see him on his side. Matter of fact, he looked like Anquan Boldin.
Yeah, that's coming up a little later. So, yeah.
That's what we looked like. So,
but, yeah. Okay. Congratulations, you won. I'll buy dinner.
Yay. Yay me.
moving on.
Yeah.
Ohio State. Seems like to me that they are quickly becoming last year's, the equivalent of last year's Florida State. You know, Florida State had all those games where they just barely won.
Barely.
And they were just barely getting by, staying up at the top. And it feels like what Ohio State is doing. Now, Cardale Jones. And we'll get into this, getting going to the NFL early in a minute. But he should have went last year. There's a lot of NFL teams right now that would have drafted him last year that are saying, whew, thank you, God. Thank you, God, he stayed in school. Because now we see.
Thank you. Yes, thank you we didn't get another Kaepernick. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to talk about that later. yeah, Ohio State, they're not as good as they were. Michigan State going to get them troubles. Again, Michigan, Indiana is just Indiana. They should have been athletically better, and that's really why they won that game, because Indiana was right there.
Yeah, it's like I heard Chris Carter say on Mike and Mike, I think it was Friday, he was talking about being recruited by Indiana to play basketball. And, you know, obviously they wanted to play football as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Chris Carter, recruited by Indiana to play basketball and football, and he said his mom, who told the football coach, basically, that, you know, I wouldn't even let Chris go there to play basketball. So, no, he's not coming to play football either.
Oh, Lord. That's amazing.
I mean, and... You know, that's just a long way of saying that Indiana's a basketball school, but...
Okay, Indiana not a basketball school. Let's get over to Bobby Knight, whatever his name, days. Okay, when the last time Indiana been good?
Not since Bobby Knight been there.
Okay, thank you. So, yeah, let's stop saying that. They just Indiana. Don't nobody know what they do up there.
Well, the last few years they have played Ohio State tough, so it's not a huge... You know, shocked to see them play them tough again. But Ohio State got to get it figured out. I mean, they got a beast in the running back spot. Ezekiel Elliott can play. Quarterback's just he's just not performing. And yes, he's only 8 games in his career because he only has 5 this year and 3 from last year. But I don't know. Urban got his work cut out for him to stay at the top.
You know how I feel about Urban. Whatever. They not staying at the top. They going to fall to somebody that they shouldn't. And then, like I said, they still got Michigan State and Michigan on the schedule. And they might have 2 losses before it's over. Because they don't look good at all.
This week's, let's go with our little Final 4 picks real quick.
Hold on, I just want to say how UCLA is, I don't know what they was doing against Arizona. And, well, how many teams fell out in the top 6? Notre Dame, number 6 fell, number 7 fell, number 8 fell, like, number 3 fell. It was a tough weekend for top 10.
Yeah, if you were in the top 10, it was not your week. It really,
like I said, I still think that all four teams that make it to Final Four gonna have one loss. All right, go ahead.
Oh, no. Let's see. My Final Four picks, yeah, a little different this week. I took two out, added two, but I'm sticking with Ohio State and TCU for now. I still feel like there's a chance that both of them could lose by the end of the year. So Ohio State, TCU, and then I added Baylor, who I thought was, you know, played really well this past week and has just been really steady. And just to have an SEC team in there, I put Alabama. We'll see.
I know I can't do this, but I'm doing it anyway. Whoever win the Baylor TU game, I got them. That's one spot. Look, I'm doing all kinds of cheating. One SEC team. And then, God, I mean, nobody looks good for me to just go out on a limb with them.
And I didn't want to take UCLA. I don't mean to cut into your picks, but I didn't want to take UCLA out. But
yeah, they played off.
Yeah, they didn't look good. Now they could turn it around. And Arizona's a decent team, so
I'm telling you what, I'm gonna put two SEC teams in. That's what I'm gonna do.
What two SEC teams you doing?
I think that, I mean, LSU was good. LSU, Alabama, and maybe Florida. One of them. Two of them.
Two of the three.
Yeah.
All right. Who you got on your fourth spot?
Alabama already got one of their losses. See, they ain't gonna get anyone with two losses. Well, I don't care. This is awful. Let's go with I mean, it's got to be somebody over there. How many games Stanford done lost? Two or one?
I think just one.
But they looking better. I got a question mark on my fourth spot.
You don't understand how this game is supposed to be played.
I can make up my own rules.
You make up your own rules to the pick four.
Yeah, I made up my own rules. That's what I decided.
So you got three and a question mark. And look, then your other three is the winner of TCU and Baylor.
I got a
ball.
Like,
and then two out of three SEC teams.
This is how you do when you play in space. You got two in the possible.
And look, and for our listeners that have played spades with me, don't even start laughing, because you know what? I just make up how many books I got.
Oh Lord, man. Three in the possible.
And if it it don't work out, it don't work out. And sometimes it does. Extra. Well, that's another story.
Six books. To be like, what? How did you get
there
in the
box? How he gonna be at two books and come up with seven?
Yo, that's that crazy.
Yeah, I underbid hard. But anyway, let's see. Let's just jump right into the NFL. DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, that's what you get for leaving Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, he tried to clean up his comments. Basically, his comments, you know, something that he was asked if he thought he was getting enough carries. He said no. You know, no, I don't. You know, he didn't think so. And he tried to clean it up, say it was part of the offense. But you know, he started out kind of rough on his. Yeah, because. What are you doing to warrant enough carries? Now, mind you, Philadelphia's offense. They're playing from behind a lot, so Bradford's having to throw more. He doesn't have any time in the pocket. The offensive line is collapsing on him, and he's not mobile at all. Yeah.
What we talked about.
Yeah, he should have stayed in Dallas.
Why would you leave Dallas where you had like almost 2,000 rushing yards? I mean, unless it was something going on in the locker room that you didn't like somebody or something. You seemed happy.
Right.
Again, they kept you after you were still in perfume and whatever else that you could afford.
Right.
So for all we know, you're a kleptomaniac too. Because why else would you be going around stealing? And you got enough money to buy the store. That's what you get for leaving.
Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as that. He could have, you know, if he stayed in Dallas, he's behind an offensive line. And right now would have been a perfect time for him to be there.
He's getting about all that he wants.
Yes.
So.
Moving on to another troubled team, we got the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the 49ers.
We'll get there.
Okay.
They're more than troubled. The Dolphins played the early game this Sunday as they were in London playing against the Jets. Defense looks like they are not even trying. You got Ndamukong Suh, who has his own issues. You know, he's kind of a knucklehead, basically.
He got him a big contract. He don't care.
I mean, there's reports of him just doing his own thing, regardless of what the play call is. And honestly, it looked like they weren't even out there trying to tackle. I mean, the Jets were just running and passing. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is not mobile at all, who was supposed to be the backup quarterback to this on the Jets team, was running all up and down and through the Miami defensive line.
Maybe they want the coach to get fired or something.
Well, that's where we're headed, because apparently he has met with the Dolphins brass and a decision on his future is supposed to be made today.
Yeah, so somebody must have been mad, and they were just like, let's not play.
And I don't know why they always come out with reports like that, because once you hear that, you know where it's headed. So just go ahead and tell us that he fired, and they're going to move on.
Or
they're
going to let him resign.
Right, yeah. So just come on out with it. And now we get to, we talked about the terrible, the ugly, and the just downright nasty.
It's atrocious.
Atrocious. Very good word. Kaepernick has got to sit down. They got to sit him down.
Let me tell you what's hilarious. And I so hate that I can't think of the former Dallas Cowboy person with the white hair. What is his name? Coach. He's on the Fox crew with Howie Long and
Jimmy Johnson.
So they said, after the 49er game on Fox, the head guy's like, so Jimmy, what would you do with Kaepernick? He said, sit him down. Everybody, Michael Strahan put his head over his face. And then he was just, Howie was just looking straight forward. And then I was like, thank you. Somebody telling the truth. Dude, he awful. He throwing balls in the dirt. People open, he throwing the ball behind him. I'm like, you got to be better than this. I mean, he is progressively getting worse every year. And now it looks like every game.
Yeah,
you saw the mess before. This is my first time seeing us play. He awful.
I mean, no touchdowns and 5-6 turnovers, something like that, in the last 2 or 3 games. I mean, just... It's time to sit him down. Go a new direction. I literally would almost say this. Now, it could turn out to be complete garbage, or, a new scenery could help the man. But I'd almost trade him straight up for RG3 in Washington. And, who's to say that a new...
He offered to. If anything, I would try to send him to the Eagles or somebody that he would, they want to run that option stuff. He might do better. I don't know. He terrible. I don't want RG3 because he hurt all the time. And I just would just sit him down, go ahead and take our lumps, hope some kid that I don't even know who's going to be good next year, but we're going to need somebody. So we're going to get, it's going to be us in New Orleans and Miami fighting for the worst record in the league. I don't see them winning it for a while. Because they got New York next, then they got like the Ravens, then they got Seattle. I mean, it's just going to just keep getting bad. Yeah. Anquan Boldin, I thought he was just going to quit right then.
And he looked like he wanted to.
They showed him a couple times. Oh, he looked like he just going to walk through the locker room and be like, you know what, I'm retiring. I can't do this.
Right. Well.
It's terrible. Atrocious. A Travis Schermacher.
I was waiting on you to say that.
It is. It's a Travis Schermacher.
Well, I think that's going to bring us to our first break. When we come back, I want to jump into a little NBA talk real quick. Just to touch on Derrick Rose and my Chicago Bulls and his media day mouth getting him into a little hot water again. But we'll get into that and a little bit more on the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show. Thank you for listening.
What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Derrick Rose, he's never lacking saying he gets the wolf always saying too much, basically. Media day last week, he started off real well talking about coming back from his off-season injuries and what he did in the off-season to prepare for this coming year. This was a day before he, got his face smashed in by elbow. So, he's going to be out a little while dealing with that. But at the media day, he was doing well talking about that. Then he got into speaking on, he wants to make enough money for his family to be secure. And this is a man who is 2 years... You know, 2 years left on a 5-year, $94 million contract. And you know, when you hear things like that, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but when you hear people say things like that, especially Derrick Rose, the common man, a common man or woman could, I mean, that's easily getting them frustrated when they hear stuff like that with him, because. Yeah, that's what we all want, but you talking about that and you making $94 million.
Plus the 100 or whatever you got in the shoe deal.
Right, and you got your endorsements. And to hear you say things like that, it's like, you ignorant. I'm sorry.
He ain't even played a half a season worth of games in the last 3 or 4 years.
Not since he won that MVP trophy. He hadn't done anything.
He needs to go sit down somewhere. That's what he needs to do.
And going back to his original running of the mouth, where he was sitting out because he wanted to make sure he could walk into business meetings. Looking at him, I'm watching the media day quotes the other day. I was watching them online. He's got some kind of just trashy looking hairstyle. He's got a beard that's unkempt. But you worried about walking into business meetings. How about looking like a business person? How about having that business look?
I don't know what's wrong with that boy. I don't know what's wrong with it. He needs to get a publicist or something.
To shut him off.
Yeah, that's just ignorance. These people... I mean, all the people that's coming to the majority of the people that's coming to your games, if you probably add them all up, they ain't going to make $94 million. And you talking about you can't feed your family with that. Okay, Latrell Sprewell, I can't feed my family $4 million. We ain't seen him since. Don't come up missing. Because don't nobody want that contract.
No.
Because you're too injury prone. So they can't even trade you.
And speaking of injuries, I'm sorry, I want to tie this into this discussion. Leonard Fournette, and kind of jumping back to college football a little bit. There's a big, you know, brouhaha about him recently because he's been so dominant this year. And, you know, he's only a sophomore, so he has to play one more year of college football before he's eligible for the NFL draft. A lot of people out there saying that he should sit out next year, you know, sit out in junior year. And before I start on this, let me just say he has been nothing. He has nothing to do with this. I mean, he's actually come out and said that he's going, you know, he's going to battle with his brothers regardless.
He's not. It sounds like they're going to lose because he said he's going to drown with. I was like, drown? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Y'all going to be that bad?
But I mean,
and, my brother.
But the argument with people that are for him sitting out next year, their argument is, you know, think of all the money he's going to lose if he gets hurt. Here's my argument against that. You don't know that you're going to get hurt. You that's a chance that you're taking in life. And life happens. He could be just fine. And think of all the money he's going to lose. Okay. Well, he'll still have a college education to fall back on. You know? That's the way, I just can't, once again, the common man, a woman, nobody want to hear about all the millions he'll lose if he gets hurt. He's not hurt right now. There's no guarantee that he will be hurt. So just, you know, let him play this out.
Even if he get hurt, we can go to the boy from Georgia, Gurley. Gurley tore up his little leg. The Rams still drafted him. He showed out yesterday.
Yes, he did. 146 yards.
I mean, injury, you playing football, it's violent. You allowed to get hurt.
Yeah.
But he could be walking around campus and on his hoverboard. Okay, I don't know that he got a hoverboard. And fall off of it and twist his ankle or fall and catch himself and break his wrist. Like, there's so many ways you could just get hurt.
Right.
Football or not. He can walk out, if anything like this campus, he might get hit by a car in the crosswalk. You don't never know. So these people can't drive.
Right. Life happens to all of us. And, you know, if it's meant for him to be hurt, then there will be an injury for him. If not, then great. And
If he want to do something, he should try to stop running through people and start avoiding some of this contact and taking unnecessary contact, if anything, if he want to preserve his body. Because that's what one of the commentators was saying. They asked, would you take Chubb or would you take him? And the guy said Chubb because he's elusive and he's not taking a lot of contact. Like he usually try to avoid it. Not that he can't. But you see him. He on a straight line, and he is not going left or right. He is trying to run through people.
Right.
Which may not bode well for you in the end.
Yeah. Let's see. It's going to take us to our next break. On the other side, we'll get into a little scandal, a little empire. I want to touch on, we spoke on it last season with the Monique.
Oh, yes. We need to talk about that. We need to clarify some more stuff.
Yeah, so we'll get into that, and we'll also talk about power on the other side. This has been the Mac and T Show. Thank you for listening.
What time is it?
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. Scandal. Just to reiterate, I did say last week I thought Elizabeth North was going to be the one.
You did.
Thank you. I mean, everything else happened terribly for me this weekend with my football teams, and so I'm gonna pat myself on the back for getting something right.
And I just couldn't see what value she would have in trying to destroy.
Now.
To be honest,
I thought that it would be more of a vengeful reasoning for it, and I felt like she was going to be, you know, somewhat connected with Daddy Pope, and she may be and somewhere down the line. But it hasn't, I mean, she's almost like a little spoiled girl. Like, you know, she's not getting no attention, so she did this to throw herself, you know, out there. So you got that. You got Fitz gets talked into bringing Melly back to the White House to kind of save his image and save her image and kind of put all this Olivia stuff behind him. And he calls Olivia. They had this long phone conversation where she don't really say much. She just riding in the car and he's talking and saying why he's bringing Melly back and he didn't want to ruin her. And once again, you're thinking, ah, here we go, Fitz and Olivia in their little circle of drama. And I'm, you know, just going on and on. I'm like, I'm fixing to quit watching. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this whole saga of them going back and forth or whether they're going to be together or not. And then, as the episode ends, you got a bunch of reporters cornering Olivia outside of Pope and Associates. And one of them asks, are you the president's mistress? And right before the credits roll, she says, yes.
That's a bad.
So, yeah. Didn't see that coming.
Well, I mean, didn't we go through this before? Remember when they ended, maybe season 3, she had a little white jogging suit on. She had Stevie Wonder playing on the headphones.
Right.
She'd go out of her little apartment and all the paparazzi there. Olivia, that's when we meet her daddy, or find out that Pope is her daddy. I don't know where they're going with this. They're going to make me get off the scanner train because I don't have time for the foolishness. And it seems to be like she don't have nothing to do now. She's running out of things to do, but maybe she's going to surprise
her. Yeah, I'm interested to see where next episode goes, where Melly and Cyrus are going to team up and try and take down Olivia. I mean, I'm interested to see what they do.
Why? What value is that? Because we know you're going to run back when you need them. And if this is a attempt to show us how treacherous people are in Washington, some things I don't need to see.
Right.
Because they so trifling. Which probably is a real thing that's going on, backstabbing and doing whatever to get what you want, but I don't need to see it.
Right. Let's see. Last week's episode of Empire, Dynasty, seems what that's what the new label is going to be called that Cookie and them are coming up with. So that's still in the works. It's a work in progress. We got Lucius recording a song in prison. And, you know, the guest stars on that, they really didn't have that big of a role, but you got Petey Pablo and Montana 3000 or 300 or whatever he calls himself. They were...
When has Petey Pablo been popular?
He ain't done nothing since that. What's that song he does? North Carolina.
Throw your hands up.
Yeah.
Take your shirt off and do something and spin it like a helicopter. I don't know. So,
all that.
No, I didn't. I was going to wear my gator tie, but I decided to give y'all a break. Oh, yeah, Notre Dame struggle, too. Yeah, that's awesome, right? That's
yeah.
What we like.
Yeah. So then, you know, he records his song in prison, and Jamal is trying to lure Hakeem back because Lucius told him that Hakeem needs to be with Empire. So, and Hakeem... He seeming kind of wishy-washy, like, you know, he ain't going to be about it, then, you know, he's back and forth.
Yeah. He going to be with his mom.
We'll see.
What did he say when he, I'm going to tell mama? You remember when
right.
He was trying to, he going to be with his mama, he the baby, you know, she paying him some attention now.
Mm-hmm.
And if the truth be told, she was in jail when that was, when they came up, but even on some of the stuff that Jamal was doing, she was like, no, you need to come in harder, or no, you need to do this and do that. She know her music, and she can make him a star.
Yeah. Well, he just back and forth so much, I can't get a handle on the young book.
I'm telling you what's going to happen. If he, I can't just see how he made this 180. You first, you was all homophobic and you didn't like your son because he slept with other men. And then now all of a sudden, like, this is too quick of a turnaround. Right. Now I don't know who does this. I don't trust Lucius. And once he get what he wants, hey, that boy gonna be out the door.
Speaking of getting what he wants, he was able to make bail. And, you know, he's got that new shady lawyer now.
Yeah, a pimp named Slickback, yeah. Right there, that purpose.
Yeah, so old Shady Purple is what I'm going to call him. But, yeah, he was able to get Lucius a bail.
I think it should be a pimp named Slickback. That's what it should be. Boondocks fans.
Oh, yeah, Boondocks. Well, basically, Lucius is out, so that's where the next episode is going to take us. But speaking of Empire, let's kind of throw in there a little bit more on the Monique situation. We touched on it last season where she was on Sway radio station and came out and basically said
she was on B-103.
B-103. B-103.
First, B-103. So then, you know, she was saying how she had gotten the emails, the quack, quack. So it's like, okay, she got the emails. No, I happened upon her being on Sway's show, and she was actually there to promote Blackbird, which is the last movie she was in. And the young man that's the star in that show was with her, but, you know, they talked to Monique before they talked to him, and she was like, you know, okay, so Sway had... She brought actually printouts of the emails, and it was actually Sway read them. It was like, we contacting you about the script, but, and it was said Cookie, and then it was like, you know, it's got to happen really fast. We need this, that, to happen, but we got to, you know, do the whatever little protocol that the TV show run.
Right.
But then next thing she knows, she says she ain't hear nothing. Now, from what it sounds like, Fox didn't want her to be the cook.
Right.
But instead of him just saying that, I guess I don't know why he didn't just tell the truth. Look, I wanted her to be cookie. Fox thought we should go another direction. I don't know what the little devils in Hollywood be doing. But she brought her proof that she was asked to be cookie.
And all she wants is her name clear.
He had the papers in his hand. It's amazing.
Right, and she just wants her name to be clear.
Yes.
So.
Because they kept saying that she was difficult and all that, and she continually reiterate how, you know, she's not a nominated Emmy, she's an Emmy Award winning actress. Yeah. She should be paid as such. Stop trying to pay her like she a new kid on the block.
Yes, and that was all about her being difficult. I mean, that basically she was just saying, pay me what by my resume, you know, and this whole, you know, bringing the emails forward, just her trying to get her name clear, because, you know, Lee Daniels and his people are steadfastly denying that she was ever offered the role in any certain way. So,
I mean, what? I don't know what the big deal is. Maybe I'm missing something. Like, okay, we offered her the role again. We decided to go another direction. So maybe Fox didn't have anything to do with it. We just decided Cookie would be a better sidekick with Terrence.
And if they would have come out and said that, I think Monique wouldn't have no issues. You know, according to her.
Right, because all she's been trying to say is that, look, I'm not lying. I'm just, like I said last year, she didn't pull that out of the bottom of her shoe. Like, because it didn't make sense. Right. It didn't make sense for her to just out of nowhere say, oh, I was going to be cooking. That, like, who does that? She doesn't strike me as an attention seeker. Like, come on. Right. But so now we know Lee Daniels is not on the up and up.
Nope.
And
it don't look it. It don't look that way. But,
don't let the devil use you, Lee. Don't let the devil use
you. Well, moving on from Empire, we want to jump into another show called Power.
Be the sense, little joint.
50 Cent's joint on Stars. It wraps season 2 in August. Basically, just a little quick rundown. It follows the life of James St. Patrick, a.k.a. Ghost. He owns a nightclub, but is also a big player in the city's largest drug networks. So, you know, he's a nightclub owner and a street pharmacist. The double life is getting to him. He wants out the drug game, and that's pretty much where the big stuff happens. You know, obviously, I'll let you kind of handle it because I know you've actually, you know, seen most of the show.
He wants out of the drug game, and he actually wants to, like, run clubs. He's good at it. Well, all the people around him do not want out of the drug game, which I cannot understand, but I guess some people are just like it.
It's them paper. So, it's their paper.
So, you know, he runs into, if you ain't seen this by now, like the first season, ain't no spoiler alert, because these seasons are over. So, he runs into a high school sweetheart, falling in love all over again, cheating on his wife. And I think one of the main reasons, besides being in love with that girl, she's Hispanic, and I'm just saying Hispanic because I don't know exactly what ethnicity she is, but mm-hmm. She speaks Spanish. She's actually taught him how to speak Spanish. And I think if his wife had wanted to get out of the game, he might have had a little fling with this girl. But he can see a future with this Angela Valdez.
Right.
That's the character's name. And so he want to get out. Angela is already clean. She works U.S. attorney. But she works for the government. Anywho, he trying to get out. But every time he try to get out, something just keep pulling him back in. Whether, you know, somebody's shooting at him, people getting shot. And Kanan, who is 50 Cent's character, his son has been a Ghost driver, and he is in love with Ghost's wife,
mm-hmm.
Tasha. Now, Tasha uses the little boy to try to get information, but then she start having feelings for him in season 2. And they start fooling around, for lack of a better word. And long story short, Kanan gets out of jail. He tried to infiltrate, you know, try to see how Ghost and Tommy, who was his sidekick, this white guy,
uh-huh.
is down for, you know, he's down. He all about killing. He all about that drug life. Now, he's trying to take back over the game because he figured out that Ghost and Tasha are the reason they set him up for him to go to jail.
Oh, my.
And so he had somebody killing people off in Ghost's little circle of drug dealers. And they were trying to figure out who it was. And Kanan sent him on a wild goose chase. Long story short, again, Kanan get out of jail. He tell his son to go kill Ghost. I don't know why he think that was a good idea when the boy, pretty much the last 5, 6, or whatever years, been with Ghost and grew up with Ghost. And Ghost has figured out at this point that he's sleeping with his wife. And so he absolutely positively sure of it when the young man goes and is like, you know, and you ain't faithful to Tasha. And then he's like, okay, yeah, I know y'all sleeping together. And so some kind of way he get the upper hand, take the gun from Kanan's son. And he's scared, but he's like, I'm not going to shoot you. I just want you to get out of this life. This life ain't for you. Because the guys, he wasn't going to shoot Ghost. He was just upset about how Ghost was doing Tasha. Because right. He wasn't nothing about the drugs. It wasn't nothing about trying to follow what his daddy had told him. So, the young man, Natasha, and I can't even think of this boy's name. This young man's name that's playing Kanan's son, but they all made a plan to run away together. And Tasha's like, okay, hurry up. She texting him. Now, after Ghost lets him go, he goes back to tell his daddy all he leaving, all he happy that he was in jail, whatever, whatever. Lord, I did not see this son coming. Kanan shot his son.
Oh.
Shot and killed.
No.
He shot and killed his son. I was like, wow, I didn't see that coming. At the end, again, Ghost is trying to get out. He kills several people trying to get out. But it don't work. And now I can't wait to see what happened on season 3 because the head drug dealer that they get all their drugs from, the cartel dealer, has told Tommy, which is his sidekick, that he can take over the drug game, but he got to kill Ghost. And what Ghost had tried to kill Kanan and burn him on fire, well, at the end of the show, the fire marshals are at the place, and you can see it ain't no dead body there. I said, Lord, I knew that boy wasn't dead. And Tasha thinks, Tasha had to come down. I guess they found his phone and saw that that was the last call. She comes down to identify Kanan's son by the, I can't even think of his name, you know. And she see him with the gun, the bullet wound in his head, and she thinking it's Ghost, but Ghost already had, you know, told her, you know, I know that you sleeping with him and all, and this is your fault, and this is Kanan's fault that he was in this predicament and everything. So she thinking that Ghost did it, but Ghost obviously, like I just said, didn't do it. It was his daddy.
Right.
So this is going to be interesting. There's so many ways that she can go with this. It'll be interesting to see what direction this takes because it looks like Ghost is not going to get out of the drug game anytime soon.
Yeah. Judging by the previous two seasons, I guess season 3 will, you know, start off in June. Seems to be the pattern for the other two. So, look forward to that this summer. Season 3 of Power. Let's see. I think that's going to wrap up.
Yeah, say June 2016.
Yeah. I think that's going to wrap up this show. Hopefully my Rebels will get back on track next week.
Okay, Gators, we need to beat Missouri and keep this thing rolling.
Like I text you, we're on to New Mexico State. we're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, they should beat they should beat them up. They should take all of their frustrations out on them. And that game is so early, it's at 11 o'clock.
Oh,
what are they trying to get away to?
Well,
I was like, I don't want to deal with the parking. That's why I didn't even try to get
away. Well, like always, I'm Brian McKay, and I am with
the Gator T Davis.
And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.